the tough summer for the travel industry and the airlines, that's over. Now what? Let's find out with the original travel influencer, Johnny Jett. Good morning, Johnny. I don't know where to start with you. I have so many things to ask you about, but let's begin with cheap flights. Are there any? A lot of folks starting to think about Thanksgiving and Christmas. What's the situation?
You better start shopping because there are not going to be many. You know, all the analysts are saying that by mid-October, Thanksgiving flights and Christmas flights are going to be crazy expensive. Right now, they're still probably more expensive than they were. Definitely more expensive than last year, but maybe even more than 2019. But it's definitely gone down. And but you know, you got to be flexible on those dates. That's the key. Try and take a day or two off on either end, and you can save some money.
I'm looking at your list of tips on your website, johnnyjett.com. That's J-O-H-N-N-Y, johnnyjett.com. And I love this hidden city trick. And the airlines don't like this, do they?
Yeah, you might love it, but they hate it. And it's against their policy. It's not against the law. It's against airline policy, so I am definitely not recommending it. And there is some risk to it. But the hidden city trick is, let's say I'm flying from Los Angeles to Charlotte, and the only airline that flies nonstop is American Airlines. So they're going to charge a premium for that. And if I want to go to Charlotte, you know, if I put in that one-way flight, they're going to say $500. But if I say I want to go to LaGuardia via Charlotte, so the plane actually stops in Charlotte first and then connects to another airport like LaGuardia or Jacksonville or whatever, that flight could go down to $140. So you would save a lot of money, but you'd have to fly one way. You can't check a bag. And again, if you do it often or the airline catches you, they could take away your miles. They could, you know, charge you extra. And I would never admit to doing it. But if I did, I wouldn't do it often.
We'll destroy this tape, Johnny. Don't worry. You also have some other tips I want to ask you about. You say stay away from low-cost carriers and basic economy fares. Why?
Well, you know, low fare carriers like Spirit, Allegiant, Frontier are great if you know what you're getting and you're not taking a lot of baggage with you, or even any baggage except like a purse to put underneath the seat in front of you. Because even to use the overhead bin, they charge a lot of money. Sometimes they'll charge you $60 at the gate just to put a bag in the overhead bin. So as long as you know that, they're great. But if you don't know that, then you're really going to end up spending a lot of money. Because when you do a search for fares, they could show up for like Chicago to Florida for $19. But by the time you get to Florida and you pay all the add-ons, you're spending more than what you would have if you flew United or American or Delta. And keep in mind, American, Delta, and United, they're all trying to compete with Spirit because so many people are just looking at the price. So they've introduced basic economy fares as well. So you have to read their fares. I say avoid those basic economy fares because you can't change them. They're non-refundable, and you know, they have all kinds of extras. So you need to know.
Yep, makes sense. You do like Southwest, and of course, we have a lot of Southwest service out of Chicago.
Definitely. I mean, what's great about Southwest is that they never charge for bags. They never charge for change fees. And so they give you two free extra bags. But I'm not a Southwest kind of guy because I fly a lot and I like to have my miles and I like to get upgraded with my miles. So, you know, they don't have first class. Mm-hmm. When you travel so much, you really want to try and get that. But Southwest is a great airline. And
they don't charge for checked bags.
Yeah, and now the other airlines, by the way, because of COVID, don't charge change fees. They've gotten rid of them, except for those basic economy fares.
Are the airlines getting more strict about carry-ons?
You know, they've always been pretty strict in the last 5 years. So, I don't think it's anything different.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Let's talk about holding your airfares. You can do it for free for 24 hours. Is that the case for all the airlines?
Every airline, no matter if they're a foreign airline or not, if it's to or from the United States, the DOT states that they have to allow you to hold a reservation at the quoted fare for 24 hours without payment, or allow a reservation to be canceled within 24 hours without penalty. That's as long as it's like 7 days or later. So American Airlines used to let you do it without putting a credit card down. But now they're just testing something out the next couple of weeks. And for me, I can't hold it. I know other people can. But yeah, I'm seeing that, you know, they're doing away with it. It looks like they're testing it out. And it's really too bad because I love that feature about American. That was my favorite feature because I could just keep planning. I could hold seats and then see if the fare went up the next day and then I would buy it
right.
without putting a credit card down or having to worry about canceling. Now I could still do that, but I have to pay with a credit card and have to set myself a reminder saying, hey, listen, if you're not going to do it, go into the website and hit cancel before I didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and you could compare other fares, too. A little bit more on this also, how O'Hare and Midway did in the ranking of best and worst airports in the country. And then I have some questions about hotel tipping for Johnny Jet. Johnny, you travel tens of thousands of miles every month, come to Chicago from your home in L.A., and I'll take you to lunch at Catch 35.
Like it.
I know that you are very pro travel agent. One of your tips here on your list of ways to find cheap flights is to consult a travel agent. They can still help, can't they? Even in this age where everybody, in effect, is their own travel agent with a computer.
Without a doubt, especially when there's so many long hold times to get through the airlines. I mean, all the airlines are short-staffed, and if you don't want to sit there for hours, you know, you have a good travel agent, they'll do all the dirty work for you. So it's worth the $25 to $40, whatever they charge extra per ticket. Find that out in advance. And I'm not a travel agent. I believe in them, and the good ones are still around because the ones that were just writing tickets in the old days, you know, they're gone. 10 years ago or 15, they just took off. Now, but the good ones are there. They have connections. They can. Some of them get you upgraded, like for cruises. So you want a cruise specialist, especially if you're doing luxury stuff. And they know the destinations. You know, when I book tickets, if I'm flying L.A. to New York, I'm not calling a travel agent. But some people do, and
they like it.
Definitely
good tip. Also, you like those fare alerts, don't you?
Definitely, you know, always set a fare alert, and a lot of companies offer it for free. Google Fare Compare, Hopper, Kayak. So what's great about them is that, you know, whenever I'm buying a ticket, I set the fare alert so I know when the price goes down or up, and also even after I buy the ticket, I set a fare alert because now there's no longer change fees. So if I see the prices drop significantly, even after I bought my ticket, I can then go cancel the ticket I bought and rebuy it and get a travel credit. And it's a great way to save money.
You've been to most airports in the U.S. and around the world, for that matter. Did you agree with that list that J.D. Power came out with, the North America Airport Satisfaction Study for 2022?
Not entirely. Some airports, for sure. So, you know, the worst one was Toronto Pearson, which I've been to a lot since my wife is from Toronto, and that is one of the worst airports they scored. Also, Chicago O'Hare, unfortunately, is not up there, and that's not really that surprising, unfortunately. And then, but one of the best ones is Minneapolis. I don't go to Minneapolis a lot, but I remember being there, and it's a good airport. In San Francisco, the same thing, except for the weather. I mean, the weather there is terrible, but they have great, like, restaurants to all local stuff, and I love that. You know, especially if you're doing layover, at least get a flavor of the city. And you know, I think they ranked JFK is one of the best. That's crazy to me. I'm like, what are they thinking? I mean, there are certain terminals that are great, but I mean, overall, no way.
Yeah, they ranked Newark pretty low too, didn't they?
Well, that's the bottom, and that's right below Chicago. That's not surprising. Again, Newark is just a mess. You want to avoid Newark Airport.
I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal story today. The headline is Hotel Tipping with No Cash. Hospitality industry looks at digital ways now to get gratuities to housekeepers, bell staff, and others. I think people are always confused about how much to tip the bell staff, the valet parking people, housekeeping, the concierge, when somebody delivers an item to your room. What's your take on this?
Well, I still carry cash for tipping. I rarely ever use cash anywhere except maybe the farmer's market, and that's even dwindling. Even when I travel internationally, I use Apple Pay on my phone most of the time, with connected to a good credit card. But for hotels, you know, a lot of times I carry $2 bills, which I just read recently they're making a comeback. Mm-hmm. They're going to print a lot lately, and it's a really unique tip. I actually learned that from Peter Greenberg years ago. But I carry a bunch of them, and, you know, every day I put like two of them underneath my pillow of the hotel. You tip every day. Don't do it at the end of your stay, because it could be a different housekeeper. Plus, you want to make sure that they know that, you know, you're giving them incentive to do a good job, not steal anything. And personally, I actually don't even like the housekeeping coming in unless I've been there for more than 3 days. My wife loves when the housekeeper comes in, but I'm like, listen, we don't need them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm. We don't change our sheets every day at home. We change like once a week. And it's the same thing when we travel. And it's so, but if we're at a beach destination, she loves the place to be vacuumed and things like that. And I can't blame her, but I'm like, listen, I don't want people taking my stuff.
I think she's been talking to my wife. And as far as the bell staff, and also if something's delivered to your room, you always
definitely
tip, right?
Definitely. Especially the bell staff, you usually want to do at least $2 a bag. I try to avoid that as well, but, you know, I have two little kids. So I'm traveling with, like, a U-Haul truck, so I'm, like, shelling out 20s.
And if something's delivered to your room, if you call up, if they forgot to put something in your room and they come up with it, then what?
Well, it depends. Like, if I forgot my toothbrush, I would usually give the guy a dollar or two.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, if they forgot to put the light bulb's broken or something, I'm not giving them a thing. I mean, tipping's out of control, first of all.
In the U.S.,
I go to takeout restaurants, and there's no one even manning it. I'm just picking something up, and there's like a you know, an iPad, and it says, how much you want to tip? I'm like, I'm not even talking to anybody.
I know. JohnnyJet.com for more. It's JohnnyNNY, JohnnyJet.com. He's got the free newsletter you can sign up for, and it really is helpful. Johnny, happy travels to you. Thanks for the time and the tips this morning.
Hey, anytime. Happy travels to you, too. Take care.
Take care of yourself.